Zazen on a daily basis, sitting on a daily basis, even just a short amount of time, is more valuable than sitting a long session, a long intensive period, and then not sitting regularly, daily. Of course, sitting one moment is one moment sitting, one moment Buddha. And yet, sitting on a daily basis creates and nurtures the habit and momentum of ongoing zazen, ongoing practice, which helps, so to speak, with self-centeredness, with habits of attachments, of greed, anger, delusions. I have encouraged many of you to find ways to practice throughout the day, ways of zazening throughout the day in the midst of your daily activities. Thus, your whole day is ongoing zazening. Your whole life is ongoing zazening, within which you do various activities, so-called other activities, work, family life, study, play, so forth, including formal zazen, formal service, study. Our whole life is our practice. Of course, each of us must practice with the arising attachment, arising habits of attachments, reactive tendencies that occur as our life, must study the self-centeredness as it arises for us, the attachment beliefs that are strong and significant in our life, the attachment reactions that in some ways almost seem to take over. And we must find for ourselves what works for us to support us, to nurture our skillful practice with this. When I was young, I would regularly go shopping on my way home from morning prayers or on the way home from school, and we were fairly poor and we didn't have anything like credit cards and we didn't even have checkbooks. So we would always use cash. In some stores we actually had accounts. So we had a family practice that when we came home from shopping, I would give my mother the, change. And if there were a few pennies, I would put it into, or she would put it into a little box, that we kept for charity. And then when that accumulated, we would give it to various charities. We actually did this when my father was alive too. My father died when I was about six. In fact, today is the anniversary of his death. So he died, I was six, and he had been sick the year before. So we were very poor, and after he died for many years, we lived on the Social Security that one received for widows and orphans. But nevertheless, we had a family practice of once a week, giving a certain amount, not very much. In those days, sometimes it was 18 cents, sometimes it was 36 cents, a small amount of money into the charity box. And then when we came home from shopping, if there were a few pennies. In a way, this was our family practice, but this also grew out of traditional Jewish practice that was explained by a famous Jewish sage. He was Maimonides in the 12th, 13th century in Spain and then in the Mediterranean. He's also known as the Rambam. And he encourages people to give charity on a daily basis, if at all possible, rather than a big amount at one time, because he talked about it as helping to break the natural will to be stingy and to, in a sense, replace it with the habit of generosity. This is one of the stinginess or greed is one of the tendencies that we as humans have. And this manifests in all aspects of our life, of our delusions, which are manifested, as we know, as we all have sensed, in greed and anger in different forms of manifested in fears and harming. All sorts of ways we create trouble of dualism of self and others, dualism of our life, ideas of gain and loss, which then leads to all sorts of trouble, gain and loss. And yet the Heart Sutra reminds us no gain, no loss, no end to gain, and no end to loss. This is fundamentally what our life koan is. Now, dealing with all of these so-called internals, so-called externals. Life as it is. And yet we discover in the midst of this life as it is, we keep discovering how we resist, want to change it as forms of greed, anger, delusions arise. We don't want it to change in certain ways, and we want it to be other ways. And we can fill in the ABCs because these all arise in the ongoing moment, and our reactions to them, how we feel and don't feel about them, how we, when we are caught up by the reactions to physical conditions, to mental states, to emotions, to so-called externals, internals, to the abouts of self and abouts of others, how we create difficulty, how we create hindrances, despite the fact, as the Heart Sutra reminds us, of seeing clearly no hindrance. And even though no hindrance, no end to hindrance. No fear, and yet no end to fear. This is really what our life practice is. This is the Prajnaparamita that lives the Bodhisattva, that lives us. And that's where and how we make our practice effort. Joko says, practice is always feeling that self-centered push that we have about our life. That incessant drive to make ourselves happy and content, to make ourselves free from all sorts of troubles. And she continues, I'm not saying not to do what we ordinarily can do, but the point is we can't do it completely. And that dissatisfaction poisons human life. that poisons our life. We poison our life and poison the life of others if we entangle and believe and act out that dissatisfaction. See, that last sentence is mine. See, this dissatisfaction that poisons life, to repeat the last part of her statement, is what we get to notice. And in a way, it's the encouragement for our practice, and it's the reminder to notice this so that we can be free of this poison. We can see the simplicity of living the life of this moment as is, life as is, being just this, no hindrance, no fear, being the Prajnaparamita that you are, that we are, that everyone we encounter is. Thank you for your ongoing practice.